Welcome to The Lively Show. Let's explore the beauty of being alive. Hello, my friends, and welcome to today's show. I am so excited for this episode. This is something that, like last week's episode, was inspired by the community in the classes that I'm teaching right now. We have Aligned Business and Expanding Alignment, and in the Aligned Business class, which I have been loving, the energy there is so high. It's been so fun to help all these entrepreneurs shift to making their inner voice the CEO of their company 100% as possible. As 100% as possible is what they're focused on. And in our conversation this week, this cropped up and I wanted to bring it to the show. And they said, yes, please, please do, so that it can also benefit others as well. So let's dive in. Basically, obviously, the context of this was entrepreneurs in this small business class. So this listening, as you're a podcast listener, you might be an entrepreneur, you might not, you might be in a full-time job, a part-time job, a transition in stillness, in motherhood, you name it. I have no idea what your situation actually looks like, but there's a variety of people with a variety of circumstances in this community and obviously in the world at large. And one of the things that the community mentioned, and I think this can apply in some degrees, greater and lesser than others for each person, depending on how much their ego and their mind has been identified with career and identity. So this is something that they brought up about their career basically being their identity. And this is something that has been, as long as I've been blogging and podcasting, a subject in humanity in the personal development space, this idea of career and identity. And I just have to say, I feel like when I worked with them in this call, I was like, guys, especially the people that were in this group specifically, I was like, you know what, with where you're at in 2024, this is not 2014. You know, fashions change. When I love fashion, as you guys know, I see, you know, skinny jeans are not quite the popularity that they once were right now. A lot of the cool girls are wearing those wide leg pants, even though I haven't completely shifted to that type of pant myself. The skinny jeans have been deemed, generally speaking, not very cool anymore. And you know what I want to look at is this old identity that career equals identity. I just feel like that was a trend that was super popular for a long period of time. And especially I'd say in the early 2000s, the 2010s even. But I just got to say by 2024, let's move past that. Let's let this career identity factor go. It is so flawed and outdated and misunderstood. It is just time to look at it for the limiting belief that it actually is and let it go. So you might be cheering me on and already on this place in your own self, in your own path, or maybe you're struggling with this, but maybe hopefully potentially wanting to let this go. Let's dive in. Let's look at this. Let's just shine the light of awareness on why this belief that your self-identity or your self-value has anything to do whatsoever or needs to have anything whatsoever to do with anything, especially related to some type of career, air quotes on that. Because career, depending on the person, can look very different and be deemed very different. Some people look at career and they look at how much money someone makes or how much money they make by this type of career. In a traditional hierarchical, let's say corporate kind of setting. And other people might be looking at their career and finding their own inherent sense of identity and value from having their own small business and working for themselves and leaving the corporate rat race in order to do their own thing. And so they might actually put more emphasis or value on themselves if they have made that transition or haven't made that transition to doing their own thing. In any of these cases, this is such a silly idea, and we've just got to, I'm going to look at all the flaws of it and then update it to the much more accurate and expansive and aligning side of the pendulum. Actually, it's just not even on a pendulum. It's just clarity about what this is and what it's not. So you're off the duality pendulum of identity and career, meaning anything whatsoever. So when it comes to identity, it is about who are you? And so when people go to these cocktail parties, let's say, or maybe it's at the park, or maybe it's at your bus stop with your kids and their the parents of the people that are there, whatever the case is, people will say, so who are you? Or what do you do? Now, what do you do is interesting. What do you do? The answer to that could be, as if you're an immigration lawyer, I help people get visas. What do you do? I help people get visas. But what people normally do is say, what do you do? And then they answer with an I am. So they say, what do you do doing? But then they answer comes back to an identity, which is false. They say, I am an immigration lawyer. They didn't ask what you are, they asked what you do. So the real answer to what do you do should be what you do, which is I help people get visas. Or if you paint, you could say I paint with oil paints on large canvases and sell them to galleries and people online. Or if you're an entrepreneur, you could say I have an online company that sells crystals. If you're a coach, you could say to what do you do? I help people transition in their careers. People are misanswering the question from a doing question to a being question. And when you switch it to a being, then your mind is going to identify as the thing and the inherent theoretical value, depending on how much that doing makes money or earns. And the idea in at least a capitalistic Western American kind of blah, blah, blah society, that might be the more you have the doing thing make money, then maybe the more important you might feel or other people might find you. But it's still a flawed premise. Someone asked the question, what do you do? They didn't ask, who are you? If you said, who are you? Then you could say, I am something, you know, but not I do. And then I answer with an I am answer. That's not a thing. So you say, what do you do? I'm a painter. That we're doing all the time, and it's falsely answering the wrong question. And as we do that, our mind then shifts into, do I like the answer to this identity factor I've just given the person? Or does the other person receiving the answer look at me in a favorable way? Do they look at me as more important or valuable because of the answer I gave them? But please look at the fact that the entire thing was flawed in the first place. What do you do gets answered with an I am. That is not accurate. It's like grammatically, you know, not even the thing. So once we catch that, we can actually then say the doing thing. So if you're the coach, you can say, so what do? I help people transition in their careers. If you're the entrepreneur, you could say, I have an online company that sells crystals. Now, as you notice, I say, if you're an entrepreneur, I'm still doing that I am thing on this just because that's how we speak. But if you have the label that you're used to as the identity of the entrepreneur, the identity of a coach, the identity of a painter, or the identity of an immigration lawyer, these are where I'm saying this colloquially so that you can get the point. But the point isn't the things that you say I am to. They're just doings that you happen to do for a period of time. Nobody is a painter from the moment they're born to the moment they die. No one's an entrepreneur from the moment they're born to the moment they die. No one's a coach from the moment they're born to the moment they die. No one's an immigration lawyer for the whole lifetime. So the idea of saying I am this thing that you actually only technically do for a small period or chunk of your life is absolutely insane. Are you getting this? Like, I'm just all just excited to shine and blast the light through all of this kind of, I think a lot of people have let this go, but if there's any little niggling, you know, kind of hangling, I said this is like a dingleberry when I used to have my dogs. I remember when Franklin or Ellie could go poop on the street and they could just have this little piece of poop just hanging on the edge of their fur and it just hasn't quite dropped yet. Maybe there's a little dingleberry on this energy in your own self or expression. And I just want to say, look, whether it's huge or whether it's just already passed, like, let's just evolve the conversation. So when someone asks you what you do, you actually answer what you actually do instead of answering with an I am. Because ultimately, what you truly are is pure consciousness experiencing itself through soul perspective in a 3D life experience of a human body on the planet in 2024. That's what you are right now. You're pure consciousness experiencing itself as a human being in this time space reality in 2024 right now. That's what you actually are being. And as you be that, then you do a bunch of stuff. You get up in the morning, you brush your teeth, but that doesn't mean you're a toothbrusher. You know, just because you do something regularly doesn't mean that's what you are. Just because you make your bed every day doesn't mean you're a bed maker. It doesn't mean you're a lawyer. It just means you practice law. It just means you make your bed. These are doings, not beings. I understand, though, in, you know, common culture, if someone wants to fill out a form for you and they need to know what your career is, you can put the I am thing that everybody else, mass consciousness, is still stuck on. But please detach the idea of value or identity within yourself from those common ways to handle mass consciousness as it stands right now in 2024. So please just recognize you can let this go. This whole idea of defining yourself, or let alone the idea of your own inherent value on these doings, is absolutely insane. Your inner voice will laugh all day long about it too. I've seen so many inner voices laugh at the minds of people that are trapped on this subject, because the inner voice is certainly not trapped on any identity factor like this whatsoever. So, and just remember, like, if you want to say, I'm a hypnotherapist, or I'm a Reiki specialist, or I'm an accountant, or I'm a bookkeeper, you name it. You aren't just a like robot with this set of skills. It's a carbon copy of anyone else in your field. When you say you are, it's like, I'm a mechanic. And it's like, well, like, as if you're basically a robot that has the skills of a mechanic, and every mechanic could be interchangeable, or every lawyer could be interchangeable. You're kind of making yourself a commodity within the fact that you're actually a soul expression experiencing itself in a unique way in this time-space reality. You're not just a robot with this title, and that title either gives this kind of robot a high value and this kind of robot identity a low value. It's just crazy. Back in 2009, I remember when I was blogging, there was a lot of posts going around on the internet at that time from people, especially obviously I was in the female entrepreneurship space. That's definitely obviously where I started with my little jewelry company at the time. And I remember all these women wanting to start their own businesses, especially online. This is in the blogging boom in the beginning, early days of the internet being a marketplace for small business owners and entrepreneurs. In that time, people were writing tons of posts about their imposter syndrome, how they didn't feel like they were good enough to be labeled as a painter or an entrepreneur or a life coach, you name it. They didn't feel like they were good enough. So they're all talking about this imposter syndrome in order to allow themselves to attach to the identity. Well, okay, guys, let's fast forward from this. It's not about feeling good enough to say that you're a painter, an entrepreneur, or a life coach. It's just about expressing yourself in those ways in your doing activities for a period of time that's actually aligning for it, and letting it go. You don't even have to have imposter syndrome, because the imposter syndrome comes from labeling yourself and attaching to the identity of saying, I'm a painter, I'm an entrepreneur. It's fine. Those are things that you can do, but you don't have to be them. You are not a being of painting. You're a being that is expressing its own like creative intelligence through painting, but it is not what you are. You are not the painting. You're the creative expression using painting as a medium to express, but you are not the paint. You're not the brush. You are the consciousness that's using that to express. So once we get over that, you don't even have to go into imposter syndrome, which is where people were at in the past, but all they were trying to do at that point in time was kind of like, I'm just thinking of my analogy now from my fashion, where I went from skinny jeans, maybe then there's like flared legs, and now there's wide legs. That in between was like, before I didn't feel, who am I to say that I'm a life coach? Okay, fine. Now they're like, I'm a life coach. Now they've identified, and now they've gotten over the hurdle and the fact that they get to label themselves this thing. But then what also happens inevitably in this reality more than ever before is that these things that we air quotes do don't last our entire lives. And so ultimately you might get over the hurdle of having imposter syndrome to coaching, but what happens when you stop coaching? Or what happens when your inner voice is calling you to stillness? Or what happens when you have children and take time off from doing a doing that makes the same kind of money in the same way or in the same frequency as before? What happens when you retire? What happens if you've never had a career in a money-making way ever? What happens when you get ill and you take time off from the doings of the world to get better? What happens, like I said, when you get into stillness? Or even more obviously, if you're in the transition from being a lawyer to a bakery owner, did you really change who you are? Did you go from I am a lawyer to I am a bakery owner? Is this like a transgender? Like, have you changed your identity? No, you've just changed what you do. You've gone from doing and practicing law to running a bakery. That is something that you can do. And like I said, you don't have to be weird at the, you know, park or at the bus stop, but just recognizing that you're not any more or less valuable because before you practice law and now you practice, you know, baking cookies and selling them at a bakery. They're just different doings, but there's no difference in your inherent value or your actual core identity whatsoever. Okay, I'm all fiery up at this. I hope this is helping you guys so much, because really, let's update this to the 2024, much more accurate, much more expansive, and much more true to the real nature of this reality. These things that we do, I think, much better understood as facets and expressions of our identity. Okay, they're facets and expressions of identity. So the identity can be pure consciousness expressing it as a soul being in human form in 2024, and all the facets of what you do or have done in the past or do going into the years to come are just facets. They're expressions of creativity that the pure consciousness that you are has brought into form and into skill. So you can have skills. I think it's so interesting. We have a time and a space where there's so much access to education and information. You can learn to do almost anything now. Back in the day, you had to hope that you were, you know, planted next to a monastery if you wanted to become more spiritual. You had to hope that you had access to books and libraries and reading, but only up to a few hundred years ago was that even possible. And then you also had to have the education to read and the access to the costs to do so, the cost of entry. We are at a time now where most people, especially listening to a podcast like this one right now, in this community specifically, has access to becoming skilled at almost anything through the internet and through the ability to learn. There's so much information out there. So our ability to have more facets of expression than ever before is a thousandfold compared to even just 100 years ago. And especially as most of this community is female identifying, at least historically speaking, this in historical context is also a rather new thing for females in the mass consciousness to have so much access to education and to career and to abundance and to entrepreneurship. So this is a time and space where even if you are identifying as female, that this is just brand new for our mass consciousness to take on. So it's not a surprise that the identity thing has been there, but is a dingleberry that needs to fall off. We need to recognize that the facet expression of identity is a much more accurate, evolving, and true to the nature of what you really are. Because all you really are is I am that I am. I'm aware that I am awareness. And as awareness that's living through a human body and physical form right now, I can express in my doings in as many ways as feel fun to me. So when you're doing this, you can think about in 3D reality, you can have a facet of accounting. You know how to do accounting and bookkeeping. And you might do that for clients for 3 to 20 years of your lifetime. Or maybe you also, without ever making any money whatsoever on it, might be an avid baker. And you just might be the person everybody goes to enjoy the most elaborate baked goods, but you never even sell them once. But it still could be a facet of your expression and doing that brings you tons of joy. You can be a mother. Obviously, that might be a facet of your expression of identity. It is not your value and it is not the only thing that you have to offer. It's just one of the facets of expression that you might enjoy. You might be an aunt. You might be a lover. You might be a fashion lover. You might be an avid plant mom. You might be a friend, a partner, a citizen of a country, and you can even change your citizenship. So all of these things are just facets and expressions, and none of them have to ever be denoted for the value of your own inherent worth, because none of them, if you think of this as facets on the crystal, are any more valuable in the crystal than any others. They're all just beautiful, sparkling expressions of this beautiful form that is called a crystal. But the facets themselves are just expressions. They are not the one that is defined as the valuable part of the crystal, and the other ones are not. They're just different sides, different expressions, different skill sets you might have. And so then you have the freedom to dabble and play and practice law in and out of your whole lifetime as much as it ever brings you joy. You never have to formally ever close down a company, but you could add other things to your expression and even your abundance creativity throughout. But you don't have to have your value go up and down like the stock market, depending on the identity factor your mind has latched onto or others do as well. Ultimately, this has to first happen within yourself. If your mind is really attached to everybody else valuing you more because you're a lawyer or because you're this best-selling author or something like that, you're going to have to find this freedom within yourself. And actually doing so is A, freeing yourself, which is the only place you ever can get free, but also in doing so will detract this unnecessary and misconstrued value in mass consciousness to look at others as valuable or not valuable. If you stop valuing what other people think of you, you'll also stop valuing what other people do as important or not important to their own value also. And as you start to remove yourself from misunderstood belief around this stuff, it will lose its power. But it first has to lose the power in yourself. I think I've been pretty lucky in this. Yes, I got to have the label of jewelry designer for many years and accessories designer. That was something that was easy for people to understand. But, you know, people always ask me in the community now, so what do you tell people that you do? And as I've been on the dating apps for many years, I've obviously had a chance to meet people through digital communication, and they will ask the question, so what do you do? And I could tell you that I never even found in all those years I was on the dating apps, the right answer that was the same answer to what I do when it comes to the teaching and the work that I do here on the show with you and in the classes. So I'd always just answer it a little bit differently depending on that moment of the day and how I wanted to define it. So I've been kind of rather undefinable. And even the other day I had to do a survey for Florida where my S corporation is based, and they were asking for me to tell like the field that my industry is in. I assure you, I spent 20 minutes looking in the system for the type of company that I could be placed in, and nothing was even close. There was no spirituality. There was no coaching. There was no online. There was no social media. There was just no category I could even loosely try to place myself into. So eventually I just had to place the option other, and then just type in what I actually did, because the world hasn't even caught up with what I actually do, which A is also, you know, made it a little bit difficult on the visa stuff, especially for places like Australia that are more traditionally focused on traditional industry identities and values that people are still, like we said, already a little bit still defined by. But it's time to move forward. It's time for our community. I think we're positioned, because we're connected to our inner voices so perfectly, to be the people that start to chip away at this whole idea and just start to move beyond it, see beyond it, live beyond it, and certainly feel beyond the idea that your inherent value has anything to do with the question, so what do you do? If you're in those periods of stillness or going in between career transitions, I know so many people in the community are being called to wait for the next thing to come. So if that lands for any of you, please know you are not alone. I deal with a lot of one-on-one clients and group class clients and personal friends that are all living in that in-between where the new thing hasn't come in yet, but the old thing is either on its way out or already has been on its way out. And so there's this stillness factor. Your inherent value is no more valuable when the next doing facet is created than it is right now. Yes, you'll expand. Yes, you'll have new places to play, but that doesn't mean you're any more valuable now or before. When you were born, you're not any less valuable because you had less facets at the time. And looking at my father, for example, who's right now in a hospital, thinking ironically that he's working 32 years ago in his memory right now with the brain damage that's occurred, he thinks he's working in Ohio, which he hasn't lived in Ohio since I was 7 years old. But so obviously he's still going back to his, you know, mental placement of work a long time ago. But just because he's in this hospital bed thinking that he's working in Ohio doesn't mean he has any more or less value now than he did when he actually was working in Ohio and having a high caliber job and all that kind of thing. His value is still the same. His doing has shifted, but the facets also, by the way, don't go away. So if you do practice law for 32 years, or my dad did his corporate career for all those many years of my lifetime and his own, that doesn't mean that facet's gone just because you move on or you play in different facets. So also that also to like point out, like if you stop being a lawyer and you stop making X amount of money because of that, and you go into a different thing like being a mom or into stillness or into stationery design or something else completely, you're just playing in a different facet. You're just expanding your expression, hopefully in an aligned and joyful way, but your value is no different. Your abundance is certainly no indication of your value. There is no correlation. It's just a mass consciousness belief that is, to be honest, it was even instilled back in the World War II, I'm thinking of Man's Search for Meaning. They really, even back then, looked for the value in people in terms of productivity in the concentration camps, remembering Viktor Frankl talking about this. It is so archaic. It is literally unnecessary, outdated, and really, really cruel to be looking at people as the idea of what value they have as output, like a robot, versus their innate value as a soul being in creative expression. Now, no matter what their expression doingness looks like. So I just want to say, you know, right now I have a podcast. I am not a podcaster. Now, if I have to deal with sponsors, I can say, you know, I'm a podcaster in the context of communication with them, but my value is not based on this podcast. It's something, if I was ever to close down the show or the business, my value does not diminish, nor does my life experience with the over 7,000 students I've taught and helped, and also the over 400 episodes I've aired, the 17 plus million downloads I've received through the show, or the show has received, not me. That is a facet of my creative expression. And that does not go away if I decide to add new expressions and do something different. I'm just as valuable. I'll just be dabbling and playing in a different area of life. Will you allow yourself to have the same freedom to play, to choose, to have fun, and to enjoy the creative expression that comes with the beauty of being alive in 2024, no longer defined by what you do as what you are? So the next time someone asks you what you do, do you have the courage to answer the question from a doing point of view instead of a being? Until next week, may something wonderful happen to you today.